Hello there, bright but very sensitive podcast listeners. So today I'm here to talk to you about ADHD-specific burnout, aka burnout when you are both autistic and ADHD. And the topic of today is anti-burnout. That's what I'm calling it. Basically, this is the part of the burnout cycle for me as an autistic and ADHD person where I don't feel burnt out at all and I feel great and I have so much energy and I'm ready to go. And then I end up doing way too much and shoving myself back into a burnout hole. So I just think this is so important to talk about the cyclical nature of ADHD burnout, because it doesn't look like pure autistic burnout and it doesn't look like just occupational burnout. The thing I think it's closest to, actually, and probably one of the main reasons I was misdiagnosed for so long, is bipolar, because especially like ultra rapid cycling, if you're in like a really tight burnout cycle, I was misdiagnosed with bipolar for 6 years, and it's likely because I was in ADHD burnout for 6 years, because I was in college. I had lost a ton of the support that I had had when I lived at home. I had also lost some toxic elements of my like environment when I went to college and everything. And so my mental health was all over the fucking place. Like, in some ways, college was this huge relief and it was so freeing, right? But at the same time, I lost so much practical support, and it was a huge change, which as we know, for autistic brains can be very, very difficult. And it just basically threw everything off. And goodness, I wish I knew I was ADHD before I left for college, because then I could have had so many more supports in place. When I think about the kind of support and help I could have had if I had known, oh my gosh, because I did at one point in college go to the disability services office and say, hey, I have bipolar and I am really struggling. I need some kind of accommodation for school. And they were like, great, what accommodations do you need? And I was like, I have no idea. I was hoping you would help me figure that out. And they said, nope, just let us know when you know what you need. And I was so like ashamed. And I don't even know if they made me feel ashamed or if it was a lot of internalized ableism, but I just felt so bad for even asking for help when, like, I, you know, had like a 3.9 GPA. I was in the honors system. I was applying to graduate schools. I was like, clearly I'm fine. Like, I'm obviously fine. And the fact that I'm asking for help is such bullshit. And that is such internalized ableism, by the way. You can be, you know, you can do really well in school and still be really struggling with school. And I think I was doing really well in school because I was putting in a ton of effort in a way that a lot of my peers didn't have to. And it wasn't that I was like studying more necessarily, but like the amount of effort it took for me to study in the first place was so much greater because of my executive dysfunction, because of my emotional dysregulation, because I was dealing with years and years of unaddressed trauma. Like, without even knowing it was trauma at the time. So it just, when I think back to that time, I wish I had known, basically. But we're already off topic. I want to talk about anti-burnout, which is like the part of the burnout cycle where you don't feel like you're in burnout. And this actually contributes to further burnout because it encourages you, or in this case, me, encourages me to take on more than my burnt out brain can really handle, because in the moment I feel like I can handle more. And I think for me, at least, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a doctor, this is not diagnostic advice, so please don't take it as such. But for me, at least, I think the reason this is different from bipolar, because I have had therapists recently who are like, well, we should look at the bipolar. You are a very like cyclical human being and it could be bipolar disorder. And I was like, you know what? Fair. But I think in my case, the reason my current therapist and psychiatrist have pretty much ruled out bipolar, I think they always keep it on the table. Like, well, it was your diagnosis for 6 years. We're not just going to dismiss it out of hand. But also, like, we're pretty sure this isn't it. But the reason they're pretty sure this isn't it is because my cycles are very can be very fast, which can happen in bipolar. but just so you know, rapid cycling bipolar disorder is when you have more than four episodes in a year. that is considered rapid cycling for bipolar. So the fact that I go through these cycles several times a month sometimes, like when I'm in really bad ADHD burnout, as I have identified it now, like several times a month I go through these cycles. So I think that is either, as I've been told before, either I have a very unusual form of bipolar or it's not bipolar, right? And I think, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest answer is often the correct answer, right? And so if it's very, very unusual bipolar or very, very normal ADHD burnout, we just don't talk about ADHD burnout very much and don't understand it very well yet because, you know, until 2014, you couldn't even be diagnosed as ADHD. Did you know that? Like until 2014, assessors thought that you either could have ADHD or autism. You could not be both. You could not be diagnosed as both. So that gives us like, what, 10, 11 years to sort out ADHD. We're going to learn so much in the coming decades, and I'm so here for it. Anyway, total side note. But also another reason my providers and I are fairly certain it's not bipolar is because my quote unquote, what would be quote unquote mania or hypomania more likely, which is like mania that does not involve psychosis, does not involve hospitalization, and often does not involve like intense like self-destruction. It can involve some self-destruction, but not as like life-destroying, I suppose, as full mania. That's my understanding of it. If I'm incorrect, please let me know, like, please. But that's my understanding of the difference between mania and hypomania. But hypomania, I think, is even more intense than what I'm experiencing in what I'm calling anti-burnout, right? Because like my version, my anti-burnout is like right now I'm talking to you and I'm kind of all over the place. And some professionals might call my speech pressured, which basically just means I have so many thoughts and my speech is like struggling to keep up with how many thoughts I'm having and I'm bouncing all over the place and I'm talking really fast and all this stuff. So some professionals might identify that as like pressured speech, which is a hallmark of mania. So that's one tick in that column. But I would say a huge tick in the not bipolar column is what I am considering like hypomanic is like I went to the grocery store and I got everything I needed and I didn't have a meltdown. Ooh, you know, like that's not how a lot of people describe their hypomania, right? Like it's much more euphoric oftentimes. It comes with a lot more irritability a lot of times, and it comes with much bigger actions, right? Like actions that are a lot bigger than just going to the grocery store and not having a meltdown. Now, to be fair, could I be bipolar and autistic? And could my autism be impacting the way my hypomania manifests? Possibly. I am not in the business of trying to diagnose myself anymore, although I fully believe in self-diagnosis. I just know that my health anxiety makes that pretty much impossible. So I don't do that anymore, really, for myself. I really rely on a very excellent mental health team who keeps me, you know, above boards and in check and helps me deal with some of my fears about diagnosis. But anyway, so all of this to say, I think there is a difference between bipolar and ADHD burnout. And I think a lot of professionals miss it and end up diagnosing people with bipolar when really they're ADHD. And I wonder how that's affecting us, I guess, because like for me, when I was misdiagnosed with bipolar, it was so frustrating because the medications did not work because they didn't put me on an antidepressant, even though I was wildly depressed because they didn't want to make me manic. So I was just on a mood stabilizer. I was on a really low dose of that mood stabilizer because they diagnosed me with bipolar type 2. Like it was so, so unhelpful. And a lot of the therapy for bipolar didn't really help either because it was all about accepting mood swings as part of your life and all this stuff, which is fair and like honestly really helpful. But there wasn't a lot of talk about like sensory accommodations or how to deal with executive dysfunction or anything that goes with autism and ADHD because it was thought that it was bipolar, which is much more about like, look, these mood swings are going to fucking happen. And like, we're sorry, but also this is just how your brain functions, and we need to work on accepting that you're still a good and cool person, you know, even if your brain works a little differently and stuff. And that, it wasn't helpful because it wasn't accurate. They were trying to get me to accept something about myself that I knew instinctually wasn't totally true. And like, yes, mood swings are a part of my life and always have been, always will be, right? Like a huge part of autism and ADHD, especially when they go together in the form of ADHD, is emotional instability and emotional dysregulation. Like that's huge, especially for me. Like everybody who's ADHD has like a different combination, right, of traits and whatnot. But for me, emotional dysregulation is one of the biggest, which is why I was misdiagnosed with bipolar for so long, because it was my primary symptom, right? My primary problem in life was these ridiculously deep depressions and these like somewhat uncharacteristic and unhelpful highs, right? And I lost the thread there, but basically I just wanted to talk about anti-burnout for today, just to help you recognize that this is actually part of the burnout cycle, not a sign that you are like magically suddenly recovered from burnout, right? And that's how I've been taking it for so long. It's like the minute I have energy and feel good and I don't have a meltdown at the grocery store, I'm like, look at me, like I'm flying, I'm great, everything's fine. And I think that's just really unhelpful because like, it encourages me to take on more and do more than I'm actually prepared to do, given all of the behind the scenes energy. Like there's my conscious and there's my subconscious and there's my unconscious. And my conscious level is energetic and full of life and ready to go. My subconscious is like wary. It's like, I don't know that I trust this. And then my unconscious is like, dude, we're still so fucking tired. What are you doing? You know? But I so resist that idea of not having energy because a lot of ADHDers, I think, especially fall into this thinking where it's like, I'm only valuable when I'm productive, because when I can't be productive, I'm lazy and I'm stupid and I'm bad. And things we have actually been told oftentimes. But that's not true. And resisting the reality that we are tired and that we need rest and that we are a human being and all human beings need rest, like, does not serve us. It does not help us. It keeps us in burnout, which actually makes us less productive, right? If we could just heal the burnout. And I'm not saying productivity is the end all be all and that should be like your goal, but if it is a goal for you, I understand that. Like being productive makes life easier. Like let's just be honest here. But I think when we heal our burnout, we actually do get more productive because we're not in this cycle. Instead of like being at a 10 for 2 days and then being at a 1 for 6 days and then being at a 10 for 3 days and being at a 1 for 4 days, like instead of going back and forth like this ping ponging, right? I think so many of us just ping pong. I think it could be better if we actually focused on healing our burnout, and instead of going from 10 to 1 to 10 to 1, we could like go from like 6 to 3 to 7 to 2 to, you know, like, I'm not saying you're just going to be out of 5 all the time. I think that's a super unreasonable expectation, especially when you're ADHD, but for anyone really, right? Like this is what therapists mean when they say like, well, no one's happy all the time. Like, oh my gosh, if I hear one more person say that, by the way, I'm going to lose it. Cause like, it just shows a profound misunderstanding of what I'm going through. Right? Like, I do not expect to be happy all the time, but I do expect that most people do not feel like their atoms are being ripped apart all the time. Okay? That's what I expect. I expect not being in distress to be normal. And I think a lot of my past mental health care providers have completely misunderstood that. And they thought I just wanted to be happy all the time. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, no, that's not what I'm after. I don't want to be at a 10 all the time necessarily. I mean, who doesn't want to be at a 10 all the time? Like, if we're being honest with ourselves. But I knew that wasn't realistic. What I really wanted was just to stay within a slightly more narrow window. I wanted to expand my window of tolerance and shrink my window of mood swings. That's what I wanted. Because my mood swings were taking me out of my window of tolerance on a regular fucking basis. And that was exhausting and debilitating. And I just felt like nobody understood that. So if you have also been misdiagnosed with bipolar, if you find yourself in these cycles of ups and downs and ups and downs, and it's just exhausting, you might be in ADHD burnout, because I think that's where I'm at. And I know I don't sound like it right now. I know you're listening to this, or I guess I don't know, but I suspect that some of you are listening to this and you're like, Megan, you have no fucking clue what burnout is, because no one in burnout talks this fast. No one in burnout does as much stuff as you're doing. No one in burnout goes to the grocery store and doesn't have a meltdown. Like, that is not a thing. And I respect that. And maybe you're right. But for me right now, the best explanation and understanding I have for what I'm experiencing is a really cyclical burnout that relies on both my autism and my ADHD. And I think that that's what's happening to me. And I could be so wrong, y'all. Like, if you're listening and you're like, girl, you are describing bipolar, like you are deep in denial, then that's okay. You know, I have come over the years to realize that I want to explore my mental health, not live and die by it, right? I don't need, no diagnosis is going to save me. And honestly, diagnoses are very helpful. Labels are very helpful. I made a whole YouTube video about this recently about labels. You can go check it out at the Neurocuriosity Club on YouTube. And I'll link it in the show notes. But labels are really helpful. And they weren't handed down from God. Like, they are just collections of symptoms and traits that we are pretty sure go together, that, you know, they're based on our current understanding, and our current understanding has not always been great. Like, we've had some really shitty mental health labels in the past, and I'm sure we've got some shitty ones now, and we'll probably have some shitty ones in the future, right? So I am not convinced that I fit perfectly in any one box. And I don't think that's because I don't have a mental illness. I think it's because the current labels maybe don't have room for somebody like me. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. Or maybe I fit perfectly into a couple of boxes and I'm in denial. I don't know. And that's okay. Like, the point of life is not to figure it all out and then like sit in stagnation for the rest of your life. Like, to figure everything out as quickly as possible and then just sit and be still. Like, at least to me, that's not the point. I'm going to be figuring myself out until I'm 103. Honestly. I will probably be questioning and wondering about my mental health diagnoses until I am 100 years old, if I'm lucky enough to live that long. And that's okay. It's okay. And this is not how I would have acted a couple years ago. So if you're listening and you're like, no, I want to know, and I want to know now, like, fuck this. I get it. I do. I've been there. But for me right now, it's way healthier for me to put on my explorer hat and just test things out and try things. And I don't know, go into my health with less like, this information is about whether we live or die, and go into my mental health a little bit more with like, this information could make our life way richer and way better. You know, we just have to figure it out. And I have several mental health professionals on my team who I really trust and really appreciate and honestly really love. But that doesn't mean they're perfect, right? If you're like, oh, but my therapist doesn't understand XYZ or whatever, like, I'll be honest, my therapist doesn't understand everything I bring to her, and that's okay. But she does understand a lot of the stuff I do really need to work on, and that's great. So that's where, you know, my psychiatrist understands more of the stuff that my therapist does not understand. And I have like business coaches who also kind of serve as life coaches, and they understand some of the stuff that my therapist and my psychiatrist don't understand. And so like, I have a support team. You want to build a net of support, I think. And I think that can be really, really helpful, because no one person, this is so funny. The one thing that I have found that my history with Catholicism has in common with polyamory is that no one person can give you everything. Right? They said this all the time when I was in like Catholic groups and stuff. They were like, you can't rely on your partner to give you everything. They're not God. They can't be everything to you all the time. And I think that's so funny that, like, Catholicism, which does not agree with polyamory, agrees with polyamory in the sense that no one person can give you everything, and it makes sense to reach out for support. And I say this as a very deeply monogamous person, so I'm cool with whatever, but for me, I am monogamous, and I still recognize that no one person can give me everything. Like, my husband is not my therapist, you know, and my husband is not my best friend from high school, and, like, everyone, we exist in these nets of community, and don't fight that, I guess, is what I'm saying. Oh my gosh, I have been talking for 20 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna cut this off, but clearly I'm in a little bit of anti-burnout, as we've been discussing. I'm gonna try really hard not to push it too far. I'm just gonna record this, I'm gonna post it, and then maybe I'll, like, post about it on Instagram so that y'all actually know a new episode dropped, because I'm very inconsistent about these episodes, because this is just fun. This is a really fun way for me to connect with you guys. I'm trying not to put too much pressure on it, so... Anyway, I have a couple of things I need to get done, but I'm going to try really hard not to push it into, like, doing everything on my to-do list just because I have a little bit of energy and then being super burnt out tomorrow. So this is the cycle of ADHD burnout, at least for me. So I hope this was helpful. I know this was chaotic, but I hope it was still a helpful form of chaotic. And I will talk to you all next time.